this account of the report of the resurrection is like so many other things in St. Mark's Gospel, very short and very dense. But just place yourself there. These good women are going out very early Sunday morning to care for and honor the body of Jesus. And when they get there, the stone had been rolled back. Now, if you've ever been over there and seen one of these tombs, the stone, so it looks like a big round millstone. It's about that thick. It's about this much higher than the podium, and it rolls on a track. And so when the body is placed in there, then the stone is rolled over there, and it's very heavy. And you're not going to move that very easily. And as one of the Gospels recount, the women, as they're going there to care for the body of Jesus, all of a sudden begin to ask, how are we going to get the stone out of the way? But they kept on coming, and then they found the stone had been, you know, rolled away and thrown down. And they go in there, and they see these radiant figures, but not Jesus. And that's when this angel said to them, do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But now go and tell his disciples and Peter, who is already the leader, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you. Now, for reasons that aren't clear to me anyway, there's another line in the gospel. They ran away, but they didn't tell anybody because they were afraid. Well, you can imagine going to anoint a dead body, finding nobody at all, and an angel telling them, he's not here, he's risen. They'd be awestruck, and they'd be afraid. They don't know what to do. And in Matthew's gospel, that's about all there is. They meet him on the way. What kind of a witness is that to the resurrection? How would people believe that? How would people believe us that he's risen from the dead? They have to look at us in our lives. Our lives have to be convincing. If we're afraid of death, if we're afraid of diminution, if we're afraid of insult, if we're afraid to speak his name, we're not much of a witness to the fact that he's alive. That he's alive. I remember my nephew, who's now assistant district attorney in Wisconsin, but he was in kindergarten at the time, and he was in Montessori school. And he said to me as we were walking through the woods one day, my teacher told me that there is no God. Imagine a Montessori teacher telling kids that. Anyway, I said, well, she's wrong, Matt. He said, well, how do you know? I said, I was just talking to him this morning. See, that's the witness. I know him. That's the witness. And so this gospel appeals to us to be able to witness. I was just talking to him this morning. I know he's alive. That's the Christian witness. And it's founded on these accounts, the one here in Mark, which ends, well, it doesn't really end with this verse. There's another verse that would have been helpful to put in here. They ran away, but they didn't tell anything to anybody because they were afraid. And that's the last line of Mark's gospel. Now, why does he do that? Because he's trying to, you know, provoke us to doing better. But first, we have to know that he's alive. We have to know that. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. to give us a living, personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. As I told my little nephew, well, you see, I know he's alive. I was just talking to him this morning. You see, this is our witness. And that's why this very simple gospel, which we have in year B of the three-year cycle, ends, you see, they don't even have that last line. They didn't tell anybody because they were afraid. And that's the last line of the gospel. There are additions in that chapter made by others, but Mark ends there. Why? What is he saying to us? He's saying, if you're listening to this, if you're reading this, there must be some faith in you, or you wouldn't be paying any attention to this. Now, if there is, what are you going to do? Are you going to let the truth of this sink into you and then begin to care for others? And that's what this night is all about. We celebrate. We also are meant to experience the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the disciples were all huddled together in the upper room and the Lord came, they were pretty frightened too. Then, you know, they'd heard from the women, but they said, no, they're crazy. Now here he is. And in Luke, he establishes that how? By the Eucharist. As he did on the way to Emmaus, now here too, you know, he breaks bread and says, now come, touch me. See the wounds in my feet and hands. See who I am. Now those invitations are given to us tonight. We should be able to leave here having received from the Lord the grace which he is surely pouring out to be deeply convinced of the reality and the majesty and the life of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for, to celebrate that. And he celebrates with us. In the song that Father Peter sang, remember those lines? He's going to celebrate with us. Rejoice with me, my friends, he tells us. I am risen from the dead. I have conquered sin. I have conquered death. You have nothing more to fear. I blazed the way for you. Heaven is open to you. Now just listen to me. Follow me. And care for others. Tell others about this in a way that they can believe. And so that we're here tonight celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And therefore, this is really his body and this is really his blood when we celebrate that part of the liturgy. The living, raised, radiant Jesus Christ coming to us. In the words we've just heard, in the Eucharist we will receive. This is the night that if we let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts, the whole thing will make sense. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ loves us. Jesus Christ is here now. And he wants to prove that to us. Huh? And those women, as I say, the text in Greek, they told nothing to anybody. They were afraid, therefore. End of gospel. Why does Mark end like that? Why doesn't he tell us about the apparitions? Because I think he's saying, it's up to you to tell the world. It's up to you to be credible and establish that I am alive, that I am here to care for the world. I am here to bring the whole world to my Father. And so it's up to you now to show the world that I'm alive. Well, that means we have to know it, doesn't it? That means we have to turn from those things that distract us. We have to make sure that we're praying and make sure that we're obeying the Lord, and He will lead us to the place of revelation. And therefore, with conviction, we can tell the world He's alive. He has died for your sins. They are forgiven. You just come to Him, be plunged into His water, and we're going to renew our own baptismal vows in a moment, and bear witness to Him. That's the challenge of this year B, when we have this really short Gospel of Mark, and it doesn't give any big description of the way the disciples met Jesus. It just says, go now and tell His disciples He's going before you into Galilee. But they didn't tell anybody anything. They were afraid. And those are the last words of the gospel. Our text stops just before that. Or you would get the last words because they were afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Even if things get difficult, we don't have to be afraid. Why? Because He's here with us. He's alive. He's here now with us. He's touching every one of our hearts. In a few minutes, He will feed us on His body and blood. And if our hearts are open, we will leave here knowing in a deeper way that Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen from the dead. He's glorious. He's the eternal, glorious, divine Son of God. And He loves us so much that He comes to us in this gym as we sing and pray, as we consecrate the bread and wine. He's here with us. That's the resurrection. That's the meaning of it. And now our job is to do what the women didn't do. You know, the angel told them, go and tell His disciples. And Mark says they didn't tell anybody. They were afraid. Let's not do that. One way or another, we have to let this poor world know. Can you feel the darkness? Can you feel it weighing? There's wars and rumors of wars all over the place, right? In our own country, there's corruption and sadness, embarrassment, as we see the darkness. But we have an obligation to tell the world, one way or another, He's alive. He's here with us. He loves us. He's going to feed us on His body and blood. We have nothing to fear. Nothing. We have everything to rejoice in. And that's why here in this gym, a little group of about, I don't know how many, 70 maybe, people here, we are able to tell the world Jesus Christ is alive. And not only is He alive, but He has done it. As one of our songs sings, right? He's done it. He's broken the back on sin and darkness and Satan and set us free. And now we can share that with everybody else. And that's the message of tonight. That's the message. Jesus Christ is alive. In fact, He's right here now, as He promised, right? Wherever two or three are gathered in My name, I'm there. So He's here. And He's going to be here now in this bread and wine, as He told us, do this in memory of Me. And we will. And then we will rejoice in Him. And that's why we sing Alleluia tonight. Because Jesus, the risen Lord, is here with us. Because He loves us and He wants to be with us. To enlighten us, support us, rejoice us, and help us tell the world that He's alive.